We've had a very rushing morning.
Hello.
Hello there.
Good morning.
Good morning. James from Al Jazeera.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to see you.
Hi.
Sorry, I'm tied up with the stories, but
well,
nice to see you.
Nice meeting you.
Okay, we're supposed to be leaving the room at 11:50. So, a couple more minutes and then we'll get started.
I'm sorry, our colleagues are all over the place, but it's one of those mornings.
Well, we've been.
This is live anyway. Many people can.
Lots of people do watch it in their rooms when they're working on other stories and record it. So, it's just that we're not all here. There's still people watching.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Should we get started, or
Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Good morning for everybody, and welcome to this press release. And my name is Dr. Mahmoud Tarsin. I'm a member of the Libyan National Crisis Resolution Initiative. Today here we are going to present at least a sort of initiation which has a grassroots basis that deals with the crisis and the violence in Libya. Usually, we have the feeling that we are going to reaffirm and also consolidate that our commitment towards Libya is quite deep in our hearts, and we are trying to end the cycle of violence and reform the commitment that will help us to reach peace and prosperity for the Libyan people in general. Today, I think we have three members of the executive of the initiative. They are going to give a presentation, and I will call on them regularly, Mrs. Shahrazad Kaplan and Dr. Hassan Sassi and Mr. Tamim Bayou. I will call for our sister Shahrazad Kaplan to give her presentation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Shahrazad Kaplan, and I will be reading the initiative in Arabic. لقد وصل الوضع المنهار في ليبيا إلى نقطة أصبحت نتائجها بؤرة لصراعات حادة انقسم الليبيون بسببها إلى عدة جبهات. ولقد شحنت الأحداث الأخيرة مشاعر كثيرا من الليبيين الذين يرفضون أن يصنفوا كمؤيدين لفصيل ضد الآخر، ويرون أن الحاجة ماسة إلى أن يلبي الجميع النداء لإنقاذ البلاد والشعب من حافة الانهيار. وعليه فقد قرر الكثير من الليبيين اتخاذ موقف حاسم وإيصال صوتهم في شكل مبادرة تمثل الأغلبية الصامتة التي ترغب في أن تكون ليبيا لكل الليبيين. هذه المبادرة تعكس تطلعاتنا لإيقاف نزيف الدم وتخفيف الأزمة الإنسانية وإعطاء الحق لكل ليبي في أن يحيا حياة آمنة مزدهرة في بلد يحكمه الدستور وتفرض قوانينه احترام حقوق مواطنيه، وذلك عبر آليات التداول السلمي للسلطة ومن خلال تمثيل عادل وشفاف. إننا كليبيين على يقين بأن علينا أن نتحمل المسؤولية الكاملة على ما آلت إليه البلاد والأوضاع، كما أن علينا أن نتهيأ للخروج من هذا الجحيم، وأننا ننطلق نحو المسار الذي يؤدي إلى أفضل الفرص وأنجح السبل الممكنة لبناء دولتنا، وذلك بمساعدة أكفأ الخبراء في العالم اليوم. إننا ندرك أن مثل هذا العمل لا ينجح إلا إذا ساد الاستقرار في البلاد، ومنحت ليبيا الفرصة لكي تصبح دولة ناجحة مثل ما حدث منذ أكثر من 60 عاما تحت قيادة ورعاية الأمم المتحدة. وكخطوة أولى فإننا نؤيد وندعم الجهود الحالية التي تبذلها الأمم المتحدة من أجل وقف سفك الدماء ودفع أطراف الصراع للتحاور حول الأزمة السياسية في البلاد. ومع ذلك فإن الوضع ما زال في حاجة إلى دور رائد أكثر من أجل تفادي طريق التصادم الذي تسير فيه ليبيا حاليا. إن المذكرة المرفقة إنما تعبر عن رؤيتنا الشاملة لمسار متقدم، وهي خطوة أولى تهدف إلى إطلاق هذه المبادرة الشاملة المدعومة من الليبيين المنتمين إلى مناطق وخلفيات متباينة من أجل مساعدة ليبيا للخروج من الأزمة الراهنة. ومن خلال إطلاق هذه المبادرة الشاملة فإننا ندعو جميع الليبيين في داخل ليبيا وخارجها للانضمام لهذه المبادرة وهذه الحركة الأهلية، ودعم إخوتهم الليبيين في تشجيع هذه الرؤية وهذا المسار لتحقيق أمن واستقرار وازدهار البلاد. ونحن على استعداد للتعاون والتعامل مع الأمم المتحدة والمجتمع الدولي، وذلك من أجل تحديد خطوات ثابتة وآليات أكثر فعالية وملائمة لتحقيق هذه المبادرة على أرض الواقع. المبادرة. صاحب السعادة الأمين العام لمنظمة الأمم المتحدة، أصحاب السعادة، رئيس وأعضاء مجلس الأمن، نحن مجموعة من المثقفين الليبيين والنشطاء السياسيين والمحاميين والمدافعين عن حقوق الإنسان وأصحاب الأعمال وقادة المجتمع المدني، نكتب إليكم بصفتكم قادة العالم العاملين على تعزيز السلام والأمن لحماية عالمنا وتحقيق الصالح العام للبشرية، لنطالب الأمم المتحدة بدور أكثر مشاركة وفعالية لإخراج ليبيا من أزمتها الحالية ومساعدتها على الالتحاق بركب الدول المستقرة الآمنة الملتزمة بالقانون. تمر ليبيا حاليا بأزمة سياسية وأمنية خطيرة جداً تهدد سياستها ووحدتها الوطنية ونسيجها الاجتماعي، بل وتهدد حياة مئات الآلاف من المدنيين الأبرياء في أنحاء كثيرة من البلاد. وجدير بالذكر أن التدمير الممنهج للبنية السياسية والعسكرية والاجتماعية والفكرية والإدارية للبلاد على مدى 42 عاما قد أدى إلى انهيار كامل لمرتكزات الدولة، وجعل البلاد عاجزة عن بناء مؤسساتها وتحقيق تطلعات الشعب نحو حياة جديدة في ظل نظام ديمقراطي يقوم على مبادئ العدل والحرية وحقوق الإنسان. ولقد أصبح الوضع الآن أكثر خطورة مع انتشار السلاح وتكون التشكيلات المسلحة، الأمر الذي جعل المؤسسات الدولة عاجزة عن التحكم في الوضع. إن خروج ليبيا إلى العالم المعاصر كدولة مستقلة في مطلع النصف الثاني من القرن الماضي قد تم بناء على قرار منظمة الأمم المتحدة رقم 289 بتاريخ 21 من نوفمبر عام 1949. برعاية منظمة الأمم المتحدة وبمساعدة مبعوثيها وخبرائها الذين واكبوا وأشرفوا على المراحل التأسيسية للمملكة الليبية ولم يتركوها إلا عام 1963، وبعد حوالي نصف قرن أصدر المجتمع الدولي في تصويت تاريخي موحد قراري 1970 و1973 بتفويض المجتمع الدولي لأخذ التدابير الضرورية لحماية الشعب الليبي بعد أن أمر النظام الدكتاتوري قواته الأمنية بفتح نيرانها على المدنيين العزل الذين خرجوا للتظاهر ضد النظام والمطالبة بالحرية والعدالة والديمقراطية والحريات المدنية. وبعد سقوط النظام دخلت البلاد في مرحلة انتقالية مليئة بالصعوبات والانتكاسات والصراعات المسلحة، ومع غياب الجيش الوطني والأجهزة الأمنية انتشرت المجموعات الخارجة عن القانون، وصارت البلاد مأوى للتنظيمات الإرهابية العالمية ومركزاً لعصابات تهريب السلاح والمخدرات والأموال وأفواج الهجرة الغير شرعية. وصارت ليبيا بلداً غير آمنة، لا تمتلك جيشاً يحمي حدودها، ولا أجهزة للشرطة والأمن ترعى مواطنيها، ولا هيئة قضائية تنفذ قوانينها. وأصبحت ميداناً تتقاتل فيه التشكيلات المسلحة وتتحدى مؤسسات الدولة الشرعية وتخل بحقوق الإنسان والمواثيق الدولية. فشاعت الفوضى في البلاد، الأمر الذي أثر في الدول المجاورة وهدد أمن المنطقة البحر الأبيض المتوسط والأمن العالمي. وعليه فإننا نحن الموقعين أدناه، ومراعاة لمصلحة الأغلبية الصامتة، ندعو الأمم المتحدة لمزيد من المشاركة الفاعلة والمباشرة في ليبيا كجزء من خطة عمل شاملة ودائمة لإعادة الأمن والسلام وبناء مؤسسات حكم وطني قادرة على بسط سلطة الدولة على أنحاء البلاد. إننا نؤمن بأن المشاركة الفاعلة والناجحة إنما تتم بدعم الأمم المتحدة للسلطة الشرعية في الأمور التالية: أولاً، الحفاظ على وحدة التراب الليبي واستقلاله تحت كل الظروف، ورعاية حوار وطني بين جميع الأطراف المتصارعة وبمشاركة مختلف فئات المجتمع. ثانياً، ترسيخ مبادئ ثورة 17 فبراير التي تدعو إلى المسار الديمقراطي ودعم شرعية الشعب الليبي المعبر عنها من خلال صناديق الاقتراع. المساعدة في إنشاء جيش وطني فعال يلتحق به كل من يرغب من الليبيين دون تمييز، ووضع خطط قصيرة وطويلة المدى لإعادة تأهيله وتدريبه. رابعاً، وضع الخطط العملية لحماية الحدود المترامية وتأهيل الكوادر الوطنية لحماية المنافذ. خامساً، المساعدة في إعادة تأهيل جهاز الأمن والشرطة على الأسس العلمية والفنية المعتمدة عالمياً. سادساً، إصلاح وتفعيل الأجهزة القضائية، وذلك بإعادة تنظيم المحاكم والإدارات القانونية وتوفير الأمن للقضاة والمحاميين وتسريع محاكمة المعتقلين بما يتفق مع حقوق الإنسان. سابعاً، العمل على نزع السلاح وحل التشكيلات المسلحة واستيعاب أعضائها في الجيش والشرطة وبقية كوادر الدولة. ثامناً، وضع الخطط العملية لحماية مؤسسات الدولة الحيوية بما في ذلك المصارف والمواني وآبار النفط والمطارات. تاسعاً، العمل مع الأجهزة التشريعية لاستصدار قوانين الحكم المحلي والعمل مع الأجهزة التنفيذية لتطبيقها مع توفير المساعدات الإدارية والفنية للمجالس البلدية المنتخبة. وإننا إذ نكرر ثقتنا في منظمتكم باعتبارها الشريك الذي كانت وما زالت ليبيا في أمس الحاجة إليه لمساعدتها على الوقوف قوية نامية بين الأمم الأخرى، فإننا نؤكد لكم ضرورة اتخاذ جميع التدابير اللازمة لإعادة الأمن والسلام للبلاد إيفاءً بالتعهدات التي أعطيت لليبيا وبما يتطابق مع مبادئ وأهداف الأمم المتحدة ومجلس الأمن. مع خالص التقدير.
شكراً أستاذة شهرزاد. الكلمة الآن للأستاذ الدكتور حسن ساسي. تفضل.
Good morning and welcome to our team. My name is Hassan Sassi. I live in Los Angeles, and we flew in last night or yesterday, and we're here to join you in this briefing. The preface, I'm just going to read it in English, what Shahrazad just read part of it. I'll read it, and then the rest of it is going to be...
You can summarize it because the time is okay. Tight.
No, okay. Well, I'm going to read it anyway.
We'd like to ask some questions as well.
Oh, sure. The preface states, the deteriorating situation in Libya has reached a point in which its polarizing effect created severe rifts among Libyans on many fronts. The recent tragic events galvanized the emotions of many Libyans who refuse to be defined in support of one faction against another and see a greater need for all to rise to the call of rescuing a nation and its people from the brink of calamity. As such, many Libyans decided to take a position and make their voice heard in a grassroots initiative representative of the silent majority who want to see a Libya for all Libyans. This initiative reflects our aspirations to stop the bloodshed, relieve the humanitarian crisis, and grant every Libyan the right to have a peaceful and prosperous life in a country governed by constitution, where its laws are enforced to respect the rights of its citizens. Through a representative, peaceful succession of governance mechanism that takes place in a transparent, fair, and representative elections. We strongly believe that we, Libyans and Libyan Americans sitting here, must stand to take ultimate responsibility for the situation Libya is in and be prepared to take a leap out of the current inferno and embark on a constructive path that ensures the best chance in the best way possible to build our nation with the help of the best available expertise the world has to offer. We recognize that such endeavor can only be successful if Libya is stabilized and afforded the opportunity to emerge as a successful nation, as it once did under the leadership of the United Nations over 60 years ago. In a first step process, we support and endorse the current efforts by the United Nations to end the bloodshed and bring the opposing parties to a political crisis dialogue. However, we strongly believe a stronger leadership role is needed to heed the collision course Libya is currently in. The accompanying initiative letter expresses our vision for a path forward as we officially launch this inclusive and collaborative initiative in a first step of a process to help Libya emerge out of the current crisis. We open the doors to all Libyans in Libya and abroad to join this grassroots movement and join their fellow citizens in embracing and endorsing this vision for a peaceful, stable, and prosperous Libya for all. We are ready and prepared to engage with the United Nations and the world community to further define more concrete steps and the most appropriate and effective mechanisms to bring this vision to reality. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hassan. And now the resolution initiative will be read by Mr. Tamim Bayou.
Thank you. Good morning. The good news on the last person. Bad news, you have a few more minutes to go before we go to questions. The actual initiative reads as following. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, December 18, 2014, His Excellency, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Their Excellencies, the President and members of the UN Security Council. Esteemed Excellencies, we are a group of concerned Libyan intellectuals, political activists, lawyers, human rights activists, as well as civil society and business leaders. We write to you in your capacity as world leaders, promoting peace and security for safeguarding and ensuring the well-being of humanity. To propose and endorse a more emboldened and engaged role for the United Nations to lead Libya out of its current turmoil and help it join the ranks of stable and peaceful nations. Stable, peaceful, and law-abiding nations of the world. The current serious and deteriorating political and security situation in Libya is severely undermining its national unity, social fabric, sovereignty, territorial integrity, and it's threatening the lives of hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians in many parts of the country. It is worth noting that the level of brutality and systematic destruction by the former regime of Libya's political, military, social, and intellectual infrastructure for 42 years led the country to a complete meltdown of its pillars of statehood. This rendered Libya as a country unable to stand on its own, to rebuild its institutions, to meet our aspirations of carving a new life under a democratic governance system founded on the principles of justice, freedom, and respect of human rights. Today, the situation, as everyone knows, has become increasingly dangerous with the proliferation of weapons and the formation of armed groups and weakened centralized state institutions to take command of the situation. Libya's emergence as an independent nation in the second half of the last century was based on the United Nations Resolution number 289 of November 21, 1949. Historical documentations confirm that the obstacles and challenges the founders of the newly independent nation of Libya faced were overcome under the auspices of the United Nations and the great help its envoys and experts extended to the Kingdom of Libya. This UN support remained as the country and its institutions continued to grow stronger through 1963. Almost 50 years later, and yet again in a historic unified voice, the world community passed resolutions 1970 and 73 at the United Nations Security Council, authorizing the international community to take all necessary measures to protect the Libyan people from the tyrant ruling regime, as it vowed to eliminate millions of Libyans who took to the streets calling for the fall of the regime and demanding freedom, justice, democracy, and civil liberties. After the fall of the regime, the country entered into a transitional phase full of challenges and setbacks. Libya has become a dangerous place without an effective army and army to guard its borders, nor an effective police force and security agencies that serve and protect its citizens. As a result, Libya is today a playground for criminal and terror activities, including drug and counterband smuggling, arms and illegal migration trafficking, money laundering, and a hub for global terrorist groups and organizations. Sadly, Libya has become the scene of fierce fighting among armed groups challenging the legitimacy of state institutions and violating international human rights. Chaos spread across the country, and Libya's problems are now spilling over to neighboring countries, threatening the Mediterranean region and world security. Therefore, we, the undersigned, and in the interest of the silenced majority of the Libyan people, call for a more emboldened, direct, and effective engagement in Libya led by the United Nations. As part of a comprehensive, durable action plan to reestablish security and peace, build national governance institutions, and extend the authority of the state over its entire territory. We believe that an effective and successful engagement should assist the legitimate authorities under the auspices of the United Nations with the following. One, preserving the unity, independence, and territorial integrity of Libya and solidifying this by conducting a comprehensive national dialogue. Two, empowering and entrenching the values which we call for in the establishment of a democratic course for the nation, guided by the legitimacy of the Libyan people's voice expressed through the ballot boxes. Three, establishing an effective national army open to all interested and able Libyans, as well as developing short and long-term plans for rehabilitation and training. Four, enacting practical plans to protect the vast porous country borders, including capacity building for Libyans to secure and manage the country's points of entry. Five, rehabilitating the security apparatus and local police based on international standards. 6, reforming and building the capacity of the judicial system to conduct fair and transparent trials in accordance with internationally recognized legal and human rights standards. 7, developing a disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration program to dismantle all armed groups and absorb their members and their army, police, and other government and private institutions. 8, enacting a full security protection plan to all vital institutions, including government buildings, airports, banks, oil fields, and facilities. 9, working with the Libyan legislative body to pass the local governance law and to work closely with the executive branch to properly execute such law to support the elected local councils. In conclusion, we reiterate our confidence in your esteemed institution to be the partner that Libya direly needs today to help it stand strong as a productive and civil nation among the Union of Nations, and emphasize the urgent need for your institution to enact all necessary measures to reestablish peace and security in Libya. Your actions reaffirm the upholding of the commitments made to Libya in accordance with the principles and goals of the United Nations and the Security Council, with the Security Council resolutions, respectfully. Thank you very much. That's very much the initiative.
Thank you. I would like also to take the few moments just to mention a few members of the initiative, starting by Dr. Fawzia Baryoun, Lustad Kamel Sharkasi, Dr. Aziz Al Amrani, Lustad Ramadan Al Girri, Nabil Al Arabi, Rehab Al Haj, and Ayman Tarsin. Now I think we will be more than happy to answer some of your questions that you may have.
Nizar Aboud from Qanat Al Mahadin, Beirut. I will ask in Arabic and English so that my colleagues understand here. You are requesting from the United Nations to reestablish Libya and reinstate it as one member state akin to what happened in the early 50s. However, the conditions have changed dramatically since then, since the 50s. You have a lot of weapons. You have a lot of foreign involvement. You have a lot of international and regional involvement and also terrorist groups operating on the Libyan soil. So that's a very momentous or very huge task you want the United Nations to assume. Do you believe that these are really applicable? They can be applied by the international community, given that even the mission, the Libyan mission, is not operating on the Libyan soil anymore, and that what you are requesting is far beyond the will of many nations. United Nations is not one country. It's a group of countries. So who are you appealing basically to? Yesterday, the Libyan representative at the Security Council requested military intervention akin to what happened in 2011. Do you believe that there are countries who are willing to involve their troops, their forces, and their financial resources to such a task?
Okay.
For our audience.
بالعربي.
Go ahead, please. Okay.
الحقيقة إحنا عنا نعم الحقيقة إحساسنا كبير بأن التشابه ما بين الخمسينات في عجز ليبيا لتكوين دولة مستقلة كان واضح، وبالتالي كانت فعلا في نقص في الإمكانيات، سواء كانت البشرية أو الإمكانيات المادية في ذلك الوقت. وأعتقد أيضا كان فيه عبء كبير جدا لتحملات الأمم المتحدة في ذلك الوقت لقيام هذه الدولة، وقامت الدولة وكانت فعلا تحت رعاية الأمم المتحدة زي ما يشير التقرير إلى 1963. إحنا الآن الحقيقة وصلنا إلى نقطة مفترق طرق كبير، وهو التشابه فيها أن عجز ليبيا الآن في الوقت الحاضر قدام المجموعات المسلحة، قدام الهجر غير قانونية، قدام مجموعات التهريب والمخدرات وكذا، أصبحت ليبيا فعلا كدولة لا تستطيع أن هي تقوم على أقدامها بنفسها، وبالتالي تحتاج فعلا إلى عون كبير من المجتمع الدولي. الحقيقة قضية ليبيا الآن ليست قضية محلية فقط، ولكن أنا أتصور، وليس قضية دول الجوار، لكنها الحقيقة قضية دولية. وبالتالي الحقيقة نطالب الأمم المتحدة فعلا بالتدخل الإيجابي في هذا الموضوع، فعلا للخلاص من هذا الموقف اللي احنا فيه، اللي هو فعلا نوع من الفوضى التي لا تمكن الدولة من القيام بأي حال من الأحوال. وبالتالي نتصور هناك وسائل وإمكانيات ودراسات تستطيع الأمم المتحدة فعلا أن تقدم وتكون أكثر فعالية وأكثر إيجابية، وليست مجرد نصائح على بعد، يعني بحيث أن هي فعلا تساعد ليبيا للخروج من هذا المأزق. وهذا المأزق لا يخدم ليبيا فقط، ولكن يخدم دول الجوار ويخدم أيضا العالم ككل، سواء كان حوض بحر المتوسط أو العالم بشكل عام.
I don't have anything to add. So,
do you want any translation?
Okay, fine. James Bays from Al Jazeera English. I'm sorry there aren't more of our colleagues here. You've got a great misfortune that you're speaking just as there's a vote in the General Assembly about North Korea. I'm sorry. But on behalf of them, if I may ask a few quick questions from you, could one of you address exactly what it's like on the ground in Libya right now, how bad it is? Another question to you is that you say you represent Libyans and Libyans living outside Libya. Well, I spent much of 2011 in your country, and among Libyans I met, there was some suspicion about the Libyans living outside the country who hadn't spent all the time in Libya under Gaddafi's regime. Is that a problem with your initiative? And then the last question, you're calling for this bigger role from the international community. Do you think that in some ways, particularly the Western nations, the NATO nations, they actually have an obligation to provide this role, given the military role that they played in 2011?
You want to take the first one? About the situation on the ground?
I'll take the Libyan diaspora. The Libyan diaspora, and I'm one of them, were very, very much engaged before the revolution and after the revolution, during the revolution. So all these problems that arise after the revolution from the suspicions that you said about the Libyan diaspora happened because of there was no platform for the rest of the country to work together. And that's why we have this chaos today, because there was no platform for the whole community to come together, Libyan inside the country and outside the country. So we are suffering from that right now. So I don't think it will be a problem, because right now we are in the same boat all together, Libyan inside the country and outside. So we need to work together, and this is what the resolution is all about. We are working together to get Libya out of this crisis right now.
تميم، if you will, if I may add، حقيقة أن اللي كتبوا هذا الرزوليوشن ووافقوا عليه الحقيقة أغلبيتهم من داخل ليبيا وليس من خارج ليبيا، وبالتالي الحقيقة عملية السلوغن الموضوع ما بين الناس في الخارج وفي الناس في الداخل لا تعني شيء، لأن أيضا العناصر اللي كانت خارج ليبيا خدمت ليبيا وحرمت من ليبيا فترة طويلة، فترة القدافي، لكنها لما رجعت فعلا بكل إمكانياتها لتخدم البلاد والعباد في ليبيا. وبالتالي الحقيقة عملية أن الليبيين اللي في الخارج واللي في الداخل، هذه المذكرة لم تقدم من الليبيين اللي في الخارج على الإطلاق، ولكن هي تمثل كل الليبيين. والحقيقة هناك توقيعات أيضا أخرى قادمة بإذن الله تعالى ستوضح أن الأعداد الضخمة اللي ممكن أن هي فعلا تتفق مع هذه المذكرة وأهدافها في القريب العاجل سنوافيكم بها. شكرا.
I'll try to address the other two questions and maybe add a comment or two about this point about suspicious. The situation on the ground is very serious. It's very grave. There is an element that no one is talking about today. Everyone is focused on the armed conflict, but there's a humanitarian crisis that is taking place throughout many parts of Libya. There's a health crisis. There are hospitals that don't have medicine, they don't have supplies, there are people that are dying because they cannot get treated.
There are people that have gone hungry. There are children that are displaced. There are people that are displaced throughout Libya. One third of the Libyan population is estimated to be abroad. And they are abroad because of the current situation in Libya and neighboring countries, Tunisia, Egypt, Jordan, some in Turkey, some in the Gulf. So the situation is very serious. There are a lot of towns that have been demolished. Benghazi is in a very serious situation and has been for months. Everyone is talking about the armed conflict, but no one is talking about the humanitarian situation. I can go on and on. The situation is very serious, very serious. And unfortunately, there isn't much coverage from the media, the international media, to it for the obvious reasons. As far as the other question that you posed, James, about the issue of suspicion, I mean, that's the word is very key because, in my opinion, that is a word, unfortunately, today that's prevalent in Libya, not only on the element of the so-called the diaspora, but on every element in Libya, suspicion is active, and that's one of the key factors in not being able to sort the situation out. Libyans today do not trust each other, do not trust the different factions, and therefore it's going to take a long time to be able to take this element of contentious of being able to build a nation with its institutions. Your third question about the sense of obligation by the world community. Before we go to obligations, I think there are interests that serve the neighboring countries, as Dr. Mahmoud had mentioned, that serve the region, the geopolitical region, the international interests. There are causes that really affect the world's security and peace. And Libya has become, as a territory, a ground for many of these activities that are taking place that are affecting the peace and security of the region and the world. So we need to look at it from that sense. Now, is there an obligation from the United Nations? Many believe, yes, there is the fiduciary duty, there is the historical, there is the ethical of involvement. That Libya, after all, is a nation that was born out of the United Nations. Libya has always been subjected to international involvement and help in many cases. 1951 and its independence is one case. Certainly the February 17 revolution is another situation. And it takes everyone to really come together to be able to withstand and fight a lot of these ills that are taking place in Libya today. Not necessarily by Libyans, but what is taking place in Libya.
Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Hassan? I would just like to respond to a question you had about the role of the United Nations. They have already a role in the, but we think it's lacking the leadership of the United Nations in the sense that they are acting as an actor from outside, and they are, in my opinion, we don't want people just to sit down together on one table and negotiate. We want a neutral mediator, international expert in mediation that will mediate. Not the United Nations representative, because he may take sides, he may know people personally. I am of the opinion that we need to mediate. There were other situations exactly like Libya, like Kosovo, like Rwanda, like Guatemala. You know, these things, they had to bring people from outside, the international community, experts in the field. There are books, there are videos, there are things like this on how to mediate and not negotiate. There is a big difference between the two. And in my opinion, we are not at that point, and we have to push for that, and we get a neutral body or persons or people. And I know there are people here in the U.S. Institute for Peace. There are people in Harvard. There are people in MIT. There are people in Sweden. They are experts in the mediation, and we want to get them there. And not only I don't see the negotiation based on two factions, because there are many factions in Libya, number one. Number two, we need people from the society to be present in any future mediation. People like us, people, there are many of us. We want doctors, we want engineers, we want architects, we want people who are going to rebuild or build the country to be part of any mediation or negotiation that's going to happen in Libya. It would not happen between two armed people that are fighting each other. It's never happened. It has to be the leadership, and I think we are capable at this table and people that we are representing of leading that effort to get to the people to prosperity and peace in Libya, and we are capable of doing it, and we will do it.
Thank you. You mentioned here that you want some mediators. In reality, the current representative is doing a lot of mediation, and he's blamed by the mission here, at least, for being proactive with both groups and treating on a par what they call as terrorist organizations with those elected or the legitimate government. Also, the Constitutional Court has decided that the recent election is not legitimate. It was not correct. Do you believe that? Do you subscribe to this opinion? Or do you believe that you can conduct dialogue with those extremist groups which are active in Libya and which allegiances are in question in many parts? They are not considered Libyan by many Libyans.
Thank you. Tamim will take that.
That's a lot of questions in one question.
The situation is very charged, indeed. Let's address the situation with what Mr. Bernardino Leon is doing in Libya. First of all, we commend him for coming in and trying his best, and he is working very hard. And he is a person of high caliber, who has really invested a lot of his professional career in the region. And we are also told by our neighbors and friends and brothers from Tunisia that he was a key architect in helping Tunisia emerge out of its problems. So we would like to think that he is certainly a qualified person that can help. However, different countries have different situations and different problems, and timing may be different in different scenarios. The fact that everyone is complaining about him, that may say that he may be doing something right.
Yeah. Thing, yes.
As far as the constitutional ruling that came out of the Libya Supreme Court, that is really still up in the air, because if you really think about it, everyone took the ruling and started running with it to favor their position, whatever their position is. And so that ended up really polarizing the situation more than anything else, because there has yet to be an official explanation of what the ruling really means. And the ruling in its wording never articulated anything about the elections that took place in Libya that were certified as fair and transparent elections. So that remains to be an issue to be decided on, I think, by most experts on the legal front. And unfortunately, if it did anything, it added some complications to the political situation that's in Libya. And if anything, it affirmed that the situation needs a political resolution more than anything else. I understand that we're running very short on time. We need to give this gentleman a chance to at least pose a question. And
thank you.
Thank you.
I'm George Baumgartner. I'm a correspondent for, among other things, the Nation Media Group in East Africa, who have asked me to cover anywhere in Africa. Can you just, by way of context, establish, do I understand correctly that you are a group of an organization, Libyan National Crisis Resolution Initiative, of Libyans overseas, that you have no connection with the current government? And may I assume, do I assume correctly that the fact that you mentioned the Kingdom of Libya, you mentioned that only in an historical context, and you're certainly not advocating a resolution of the monarchy. And just what is it, do I understand correctly that you are advocating some mediation other than Mr. Leon to mediate the situation in your country? And that's about it. If you could just speak to those questions.
Go ahead.
I'll answer your second part of the question, and I'll leave the first part. The mediation, in my readings of history, okay, no conflict ended except by a third-party mediator. No conflict. Okay. Therefore, that's what I'm pushing for. that if we could get, I'm not questioning the wisdom and the experience of Mr. Dion. On the contrary, we, as Tamim mentioned, we respect his effort and so on and so forth. But I think there is a missing element. That's what all what I'm saying. From reading history, reading the, I read the South Africa conflict. I read it correctly. They needed people, but they added another element to it, which is religious leadership and all of this. And the, and then they had to meet in one room, all of them together in a conference, and start to mediate against mediate. And then even people who had done wrong, they had to confess to their wrongdoing, and they were forgiven. And we want something like that to happen. So in any case, that's my according to mediation. Therefore, I'm just adding another element to the current situation that may bring us to the resolution that we are looking for as a group of people.
Dr. Maybe Mahmoud will take the first point so we can wrap up and leave.
في ملاحظة الحقيقة أن هذه المذكرة وهذه الريزوليوشن لا يمثل الحقيقة مجموعة الليبيين اللي في خارج ليبيا على الإطلاق هو يمثل كل الليبيين وبالتالي التوقيعات اللي أتتنا الآن هي تمثل الليبيين في الداخل والخارج هذه رقم واحد رقم اثنين نعم
عدد المسلحين
all peace-loving people.
نعم، وهذا صحيح. هذه ملاحظة جيدة. شكرا. الجانب الآخر الحقيقة أنه الصراع ليس صراع أيديولوجي ما بين مجموعتين عشان ممكن أنك أنت تقرب وجهة النظر. الحقيقة هو صراع مسلح. وبالتالي حتى المحاولات سواء كان لمبعوث الأمم المتحدة السابق أو طارق الأستاذ طارق متري أو أيضا المبعوث الآن الحقيقة في حيرة كاملة أنه لم يستطع لغاية الآن أن يقرب وجهات النظر بحيث أن الأطراف المتصارعة تجلس على طاولة واحدة وتحاول أن هي تتحاور للوصول إلى نقطة وسط يعني وبالتالي أنا أعتقد المذكرة لا تطالب قضية الحوار فقط وتطويره لكن أيضا لها مطالب أخرى وترى أن الأمم المتحدة قادرة على تحقيقها والوصول إلى الغايات فيها شكرا
شكرا
Thank you very
much. Thank you all very much. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.